This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live as we get you ready for Week 14 Sunday of the NFL, where several games could be impacted by weather, and we have very interesting rest versus rust. I don't want to call it rust, but rest situations, advantages, disadvantages, as it pertains to teams that are coming off of the Thanksgiving games. So let's get into it right now with where we are in the current market price with some of the games that could be impacted by weather. Let us start with the first game that could be impacted by weather, and that is in Cleveland, where the Browns will host the Tennessee Titans. I've heard some people refer to this game as the toilet bowl. I will not do that. That is not fair to both of these teams, although it is funny. But Cleveland currently a 3.5-point favorite over Tennessee at home with a total of 34. In fact, there are several 33.5s in the market. Now, why is this total so low? Yes, both of these offenses are bad, but also we have weather. We have likely snow. We have winds at over 10 miles per hour. And we have a temperature game, a game that's going to be played into the 30s. Looking at the current Cleveland weather, as we pull up our radar, we see snow showers, 39 degrees, 10 mile per hour winds at kickoff. And then it goes to 12 mile per hour winds, 14 mile per hour winds, snow showers, and 33 degrees throughout the course of this game. I can tell you right now, going back the last several years since the start of the 2021 season, as I always like to do in the database, totals of 34 and below, 8-3 to the under. And so we have a total here of 34, 33.5 in some markets, but 34 or below for the totals, 8-3 to the under since 2021. Let's move on to a couple of other games that could be impacted by weather here. We are, looks like, going to have some thunderstorms in Tampa, where the Bucs will host the New Orleans Saints. The wind also about 10 miles per hour in that game. Current line here at Circa is Tampa minus 8.5 with a total of 42. And you wonder, obviously, the precipitation may be not affecting these teams so much. It's always the wind more so than the rain that affects the teams, but it could be a sloppy track there with the grass there in Tampa. And thunderstorms, maybe you can get a lightning delay, who knows, but it is going to be thunderstorms there in Tampa between the Bucs and the New Orleans Saints. We are also likely to have some rain in Jacksonville, where the Jaguars will host the Indianapolis Colts. Right now here at Circa, it is the Indianapolis Colts as a 2-point favorite with a total of 46.5. And Jacksonville has been a house of horrors for the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts have lost 9 straight games in Jacksonville. That's right. 9 straight losses for the Indianapolis Colts playing in Jacksonville. Once again, here at Circa, the Colts are a 2-point favorite over the Jags with a total of 46.5. And then there's the whole thing about Daniel Jones and his leg and the fracture in his fibula, how limited he was mobility-wise last week. We cashed with the under on his passing yards combo with the rushing yards. We could have just bet both separately and hit them both, but I wanted the extra cushion that the books give you sometimes with the rushing yards combo because they tax you on those things. So we actually took advantage of the sportsbook tax, had an extra 4 yards of cushion, and still went under easily with Daniel Jones last week. Might be something to go back to the well with here for this week. Another game that we could see impacted by the weather is there could be snow showers in Orchard Park, where the Bills will host the Cincinnati Bengals. And currently at Circa, we have the Bills as a 6-point favorite with a total of 53.5. And there has been a lot of love for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals in the wake of their win on Thanksgiving against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, speaking of Thanksgiving, the teams that played on Thanksgiving and are now playing here on Sunday, so not like the Thursday game that we had with the Lions versus the Cowboys, where both of them were coming off the Thanksgiving game and then playing each other on the following Thursday. So it was like a normal week of rest, essentially. But the teams that played on Thanksgiving and are now playing here on Sunday in week 14, There are four teams that are in that situation. It is the Cincinnati Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens, who the Bengals beat last week, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Green Bay Packers. Those teams are in a very interesting rest advantage spot. If you go back since the start of the 2021 season, again, that's always my line of demarcation because new schedule in the NFL, right? 3-week preseason, 17 game schedule, the new world that we live in post COVID. The teams in the month of December, see, this is key. We talk about the rest advantages with the Thursday night teams and all that stuff and how the rest advantages aren't as important earlier in the season. But later in the season, that's where they're magnified. So I specifically looked at the month of December because, one, I was curious about Thanksgiving, but also I was just curious about any game in December where a team is on the Thursday to Sunday break and their opponent is not. So in the month of December, if you are playing on a Sunday and your previous game was on a Thursday, that means you are on 9 days of rest. And your opponent, they're coming in off a normal 6 days of rest because they played on Sunday. Now they're playing on Sunday again. Those teams, the teams that are coming off the Thursday games, the rest advantage teams in those spots since the start of the 2021 season, 19-9, both straight up and against the spread. 19-9 straight up in ATS. You play on a Thursday and then you play on a Sunday versus the opponent that's coming off of the Sunday game, specifically in the month of December. Again, we get later in the season. This is where the rest advantages are really magnified. And I do believe, I was curious about the Thanksgiving games, like how teams do post-Thanksgiving. And then I uncovered this because there's actually some games coming up next week that have the same situation because the Cowboys and Lions are coming off the Thursday game playing teams coming off the Sunday games. So 19-9 straight up and against the spread for these teams with the 9 days of rest advantage versus the 6 days of rest advantage. That would mean the Bengals versus the Bills, the Ravens versus the Steelers, the Packers versus the Bears, and the Chiefs versus the Texans. Now, if you take out the Black Friday teams, because essentially, like for the Chiefs and for the Packers and Bears, that's a 1 day of rest advantage. It's not necessarily the same. Like it's 9 days versus 8 days as opposed to the 9 days versus 6 days. So I took out the Black Friday teams. If we take out those games and it's specifically Thursday to Sunday, right? 16-7 straight up and against the spread. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. These teams in these advantage spots have dominated over the last four seasons. And so again, we'd look at the Bengals, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and to a lesser extent, the Packers as teams that will look to take advantage of this significant edge that they have in the rest department. Let's take a look at those lines right now for those games. I mentioned the Packers to a lesser extent here, but the Packers here at Circa, 6.5-point favorites over the Chicago Bears, that game in Lambeau. As for the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, we mentioned that one already. Buffalo is a 6-point favorite. The Baltimore Ravens are a 6-point favorite here at Circa now over the Pittsburgh Steelers. There are 5.5s in the market, but here at Circa, Baltimore is a 6-point favorite. Total in that game is at 42.5. And then the Sunday night football game, Kansas City against Houston. The Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite here at Circa with a total of 42. There are 3.5s on the board. Is there a flat three? No threes. It is 3.5 for the most part. There's actually a couple of -4s in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. This is an interesting game, an interesting matchup to talk about because there's a lot of things to like about the Houston Texans in this game. Not only, and we'll talk about it when we get to the trench report, but not only is this a interesting game from a matchup standpoint, but it's also one of those weather games where you have a cold weather team. An indoor team in Houston going outdoors to play in cold weather against an outdoor team like the Kansas City Chiefs. So is that going to benefit Kansas City when it's going to be you know, frigid temperatures. Looks like 25 degrees in Kansas City coming up on Sunday night. That's certainly something to factor in when it comes to this matchup. I'm Scott Seidenberg. As always, you guys can hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. Speaking of that Pittsburgh Steelers matchup against the Baltimore Ravens, coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Brian Batko, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Want to get his take on the interesting story that came out from ESPN's Adam Schefter earlier on Saturday about Mike Tomlin and how the Steelers have to decide about his option. Obviously, this is a rivalry matchup in the division where the underdog has historically thrived. I'll tell you about how well the Dogs have done in those matchups coming up. But let me remind you guys that VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the trusted data source behind elite soccer analytics in the UK. That means you'll get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, plus exclusive NBA player prop projections, all compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find the value. You can access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription right now by going to vsin.com/subscribe. Tomlin versus Harbaugh, a matchup we have watched many, many times. And is it as simple as just take the dog? We'll explain coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. And coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk more about the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to be joined by Brian Batko from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette to get his take on everything going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now and this matchup here in the AFC North, where the AFC North division is very intriguing. I mean, I've seen some people out there talk about how the Cincinnati Bengals, mathematically still alive and worth maybe a flyer to win this division. I mean, that would be certainly one of the crazier outcomes, but actually like possible, but crazy, but possible, but crazy, but possible. And that highly unlikely, but possible. Well, let's talk about this Steelers matchup here against the Baltimore Ravens. I teased out last segment. Is it just as simple as taking the underdog? Well, if that's all you did in this rivalry, you have made quite the fortune. Since 2005, and shout out Evan Abrams of the Action Network, who is very, really great with the trends, but he had this week. The underdog in this series between the Ravens and the Steelers, 29-12-3 against the spread. That's 71% ATS. If all you did was bet the dog in these Ravens-Steelers games. Now, if the line in a regular season matchup, if the line is 3 or more, which we have here with the Ravens right now at circa as a 6-point favorite over the Pittsburgh Steelers, in those games, north of a field goal spread, the underdog is 23-5-3 against the spread. Mike Tomlin versus John Harbaugh, the underdog, regardless of who it is, 24-7-3 against the spread. That's it. If all you did was just bet the dog, when the Ravens play the Steelers, Mike Tomlin against John Harbaugh, 24-7-3 against the spread. Mike Tomlin specifically, when the Steelers are dogs, 13-4-2 against the spread. Does anybody want to take the Steelers? Because this line's only going in one direction. It's only going in favor of Baltimore. I just don't know how you lay the points with Baltimore in any game. I mean, forget about the fact that it's a division game and you're playing against a rival that has had your number. Like, no. Lamar's clearly not 100% healthy. He misses practice at least once every week. He has now gone three consecutive games without accounting for a touchdown. That's rushing or passing. He hasn't accounted for a touchdown in three straight games. I'm supposed to get excited about the Steelers? I mean, about the Ravens? And about them winning with margin? In a matchup that has been dominated by the dogs here. In a matchup where Tomlin, as an underdog, has had his team ready. With all the outside noise that's going on right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Boy, it feels like this is the side to play on. But then again, it's the Steelers. And Aaron Rodgers last week was clearly limited by that hand injury. He did not take any snaps from under center and was not on the same page with his wide receivers. To the point where after the game, he's critical about his receivers. Talking about guys need to show up during the film studies. Guys need to be on the same page when he checks off at the line of scrimmage. You know, I'm curious what we're going to see here from the Steelers down the stretch. And if, and I'm just thinking from a prop perspective, if there's certain players that we should be focused in on the Steelers. Because usually when Rodgers gets like this, he will then lock in on the guys that he trusts the most. And so the question is, who is the guy that he trusts the most? Who is the player that is on the Steelers right now that we can say, well, obviously he was not on the same page with Jonnu Smith when he made an adjustment at the line of scrimmage. Who's the player that he is going to be on the same page with? Who's the guy that in practice this week has listened to Rodgers' comments and has showed up for maybe extra film study or has worked with Rodgers on the side after practice and or done a walkthrough and gone through the adjustments? Who's going to be that guy? We'll find out from Brian coming up next year as he covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, because that is one thing I am fascinated by as far as this game and how to attack this game from a betting perspective. Maybe it's the Rodgers factor and we have to look at who we trust or who Rodgers trusts in this game. As far as where we are in the Circa contests, to tell you where everybody is in regards to this specific matchup and others that we talked about as well. For the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Baltimore Ravens, it's pretty much dominated by the Ravens side of this. 1,197 selections were on the Ravens, 699 on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but not enough to be a top five consensus play for the Circa Millions contest. In those other games with weather potential impacts or the rest situations, let's talk about those first. The Kansas City Chiefs amongst the top five selections. In fact, the Kansas City Chiefs, the number one selection of the week here in Circa Millions, 1,721 selections here on the Kansas City Chiefs minus the three in the contest. They're minus 3.5 in the market. Some books have four, but minus 3 in the contest. That's the number one selection. The other rest situations that we talked about where the teams could have the advantage, Ravens being one of them. We already told you those numbers. The Bengals over the Bills. Well, how about this? At plus 5.5 in the Circa Millions contest, 1,356 selections on the Cincinnati Bengals, only 968 on the Buffalo Bills. So that's telling you right there. And then in the other rest situation that was slightly different just because it was the 9 versus 8, you know, because the Bears played on Black Friday. It is Bears plus 6.5 in the contest here against the Packers. And I thought this was hilarious. Both the Packers and the Bears were amongst the top five most selected entries in the Circa Millions contest. 1,445 selections on the Bears, 1,366 selections on the Green Bay Packers. I thought that was very, very interesting. And then listening to the contest show earlier with Brown and Samich, Mike Samich was saying that I think it's the first time in the 3 years they've been doing the contest show that that has happened, where one of the top five consensus were in the same game. So that's very interesting. Other teams in the top five consensus, the Commanders over the Vikings, and that's just a pure market play. Also, I mean, you could just think that with Jaden Daniels being back, they're going to win. But line in the contest, +2.5. Line in the market, Washington -1 because of the Jaden Daniels news that came out. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1,469 selections on the Jags, +1.5. 1,129 on the Indianapolis Colts at -1.5. And I mentioned the Jacksonville Jaguars in a situation where they have won 9 straight home games against the Indianapolis Colts. And that division is one that we've talked about a lot here on the program because I gave out the Houston Texans to win the division multiple times. And I would still play the Houston Texans to win the division. Here's your current odds right now on the AFC South division. Right now, it is the Indianapolis Colts at +140 as your favorites, with the Jacksonville Jaguars right there next to them at +145. And then the Houston Texans are now down to +300. This division is going to come down to the wire. It's going to, and these games are these games down the stretch that are yet to be played are going to be what decides it. The Texans already picked up, they already delivered the first blow, right? They beat the Colts last week. Well, the Texans still have a game coming up against the Colts at the end of the season. The Texans split the season series with the Jacksonville Jaguars. As far as the Jaguars are concerned, who right now are in first place by virtue of tiebreakers, because they have the same record, 8-4 with the Indianapolis Colts, they play the Colts. This is the first of 2 matchups here at the end of the season. So a Jaguars win here on Sunday, they obviously improve to 9-4. They have everything in front of them. And even if the Colts win, it's still not a foregone conclusion who goes on and who wins this division. So that is something that we will absolutely keep an eye on and see how the futures market does fluctuate. Coming up next, though, we're going to get back into that Steelers-Ravens matchup. And is it as simple as taking the underdog? And also, who does Aaron Rodgers trust the most? And is that the player that we should be attacking in the props market when it comes to this Ravens game against the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'm Scott Satterberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Still to come, Trench Report mismatches and College Football Championship Saturday reaction as we look ahead to Sunday's College Football Playoff rankings that will be unveiled. This is Cashin' Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashin' Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. This is Cashin' Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live as we get you ready for Week 14 Sunday action here of the NFL. We'll get to best bets, we'll get to the prop bets, and all of that coming up here. Trench Report analysis as well. But we were talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Baltimore Ravens, one of the more intriguing matchups coming up here on this Sunday slate. Obviously, the division is on the line with these two teams playing against each other. The standings right now, you're looking at the AFC North, and you have both teams at 6-6, and this is the first of 2 matchups against each other that will decide the AFC North division. Yes, technically, the Bengals are still alive at 4-8, because let's say the Ravens and the Steelers split against each other. Well, then both of these teams will then have, you know, a 7th loss. And then you're just hoping that one of them gets an 8th loss somewhere down the stretch. And you can figure out how mathematically it comes into the equation. But a lot of interesting stuff surrounding the Pittsburgh Steelers, including the bizarre timing of an article released here on Saturday by ESPN's Adam Schefter talking about how the Steelers have to pick up Mike Tomlin's option or have to decide on Mike Tomlin's option here in the offseason. Joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line to give us a little bit more clarity about the Pittsburgh Steelers and talk about this matchup here against the Ravens is Brian Botko from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Brian, what did you make of the timing of this article by ESPN to come out and talk about Mike Tomlin's contract and how the Steelers need to figure out if they're going to extend him in 2 years from now this offseason. What did you make of the timing of the article release?
Yeah, Scott, it's interesting because I think there's certainly a notion that Steelers ownership, Art Rooney II, is never going to move on from Mike Tomlin, that it'll have to be a Tomlin decision for this relationship to end at any point. But that option is something that was kind of a sneaky detail in the contract situation. And maybe it would just make a parting of the ways a little bit easier for both sides if this season goes off the rails. And going off the rails is relative for the Steelers, right? I mean, they haven't had a losing season since even before Tomlin. That's a franchise streak as much as it is a Mike Tomlin streak, mm-hmm. but it's become synonymous with him. And I think if this is a season that goes sideways and, you know, whether it's 8-9 or 7-10, and Mike feels like, hey, we've given up the ghost there. The fans are booing me and chanting to fire me in my home stadium. Maybe it is just best for all of us if we get a fresh start. Perhaps that option could trigger something, because I don't think they would ever outright fire him. And yet things are bleak right now in Steelers land.
And yet the division is still right in front of them. Everything to play for in front of them. And it starts here with the matchup against the Ravens coming up here tomorrow. And you look at the history of this matchup, Ryan, and I gave the numbers before, but if all you did was blindly bet the underdog in these games, you are extremely profitable. If all you did was bet the Steelers under Mike Tomlin when they're an underdog against Harbaugh and the Ravens, you are extremely profitable. I don't ever want to say it's as simple as that, but is it as simple as that when it comes to these two teams that you can just throw out the records and you throw out the point spread and you know it's going to be a close game?
Well, the interesting thing about that is I would say yes until the last two meetings, which were both late last season, post-December, both in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium, and the Steelers just got bludgeoned. And until then, Mike Tomlin had actually won four in a row in this series against John Harbaugh. Now, Lamar Jackson wasn't healthy for all of those, so that's a consideration, of course. But yeah, for the longest time, there was a really good stat going around about how many one-score games this matchup comes down to. So if you could even, you know, find an odds maker to give you a 7-point or less spread, you'd really be sitting on a pile of money in Steelers Ravens. But it's a leap of faith in my mind to feel like suddenly, after getting demolished by the Bills at home last week and getting demolished by the Ravens in the wild card game last season and in the second regular season matchup last season, that the Steelers are suddenly going to figure out their run defense. But if you want to take that leap of faith, go for it, because the Steelers do strange things sometimes under Mike Tomlin and shock the world under Mike Tomlin.
Well, the one angle that I would certainly love to attack in this game, and we're talking to Brian Botko from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Is to look at the prop market here for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Aaron Rodgers last week, he came out, obviously, in his post game. You were there. You know the comments that he made about, you know, maybe just not being on the same page, right? And he said guys got to show up in the film study or know what to do when he makes a check at the line of scrimmage. And it has me thinking, when Aaron Rodgers says things like this, just knowing his history, he tends to rely on a player or maybe players that he trusts more than anybody else. And whether that's to the detriment of his team or not, at least it makes him feel better that he knows who he trusts and who he can go to. Who is that player currently on the Steelers that Rodgers has the most trust in right now?
Yeah, I mean, I was standing about probably 10 feet away from Aaron when he said that last week. And I mean, take what I say with a grain of salt, because this is my first season covering Aaron Rodgers, right? I've never really been around him until this experiment with the Steelers, but it felt more ominous than anything to me that he's going down this road now with his pass catchers. And I'll tell you what, I mean, the news item of the day, Steelers wise, was that they are elevating Marquez Valdes-Scantling from the practice squad. And he is a an Aaron Rodgers favorite, I think it's fair to say, from his days in Green Bay, and they, you know, went different routes from there. And MVS signed to the Steelers practice squad. Oh, I want to say off the top of my head, it was about a month ago. And he's just been kind of collecting dust for a while. But for whatever reason, whether it's what Aaron wants, Aaron gets, or this Steelers offense has been so impotent that they feel like they need to make a change, he's being elevated from the practice squad tomorrow. So that's a guy certainly that Aaron trusts to be on the same page as him, know the checks, know the signals. And that's intriguing to me, that he's going to be in the mix. And the Steelers also acquired Adam Thielen this week. They picked him up on waivers from the Vikings. I think he is drinking from the fire hose, trying to get on the same page as Rodgers. But it just kind of speaks to the desperation of the Steelers passing game right now, because they haven't been able to get much of anything going really since they lost to the Chargers, where Aaron got kind of beat up, and then Mason Rudolph started a game in Chicago, and we know how things went last week against the Bills.
And that's unbelievable. Right now, there is no current props on Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but I would assume as we get closer and closer to the kickoff, if there is an announcement that he is officially active for the game, the sportsbooks would populate some props, and I bet you they'd be extremely low just because of, you know, not having any data on him here. And so that could be a way to take advantage if Rodgers does, in fact, go to MVS in this game.
Well, Scott, I don't think teams generally act like, I don't think they elevate a guy if they're going to make him inactive.
I agree. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's almost certainly going to be in uniform and going to play. It's just a matter of how many snaps and how many targets can he get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But as soon, like I'm just waiting for the sports books to populate it, you know, like, because obviously they're going to react as soon as they get, you know, an actives list and they see an active player, they're going to have to put up a number on him. So that's one that we're going to certainly wait for and fire on. One final thing is, we got a little over a minute left. I know Darnell Washington has been kind of a guy that Rodgers likes to target because of his size, especially in the red zone. And with his comments about Jonnu Smith last week, do we expect maybe some more targets for Darnell Washington?
You're talking about Jonnu missing the check at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he's a great player, but you know, he just
true professional was the term that Aaron Rodgers used. And then actually, I'll do you one better. Wednesday, his midweek availability, he says he would like to see Pat Freiermuth play more.
Okay,
and he can't take Darnell Washington off the field. So you know, you put two and two together, and who does that take out of the mix at tight end? Yeah, that would be Jonnu Smith. Now, you never know. He's still an Arthur Smith guy. There might be no removing Jonnu Smith from the equation for the Steelers offense as long as Arthur Smith's the offensive coordinator. But, yeah, they're trying to figure out the right mix at tight end.
Oh,
no doubt.
Awesome.
They're a tight end heavy team, 12 personnel team. But at some point, they need to streamline the rotation, pare it down, and kind of get ready for these must-win games.
That's great stuff. Jonnu Smith right now, 16 and a half receiving yards. That might be an underplay here for this game, Steelers and the Ravens. Brian, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time and the insight. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Brian Bacco, covering the Steelers there for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That is a very interesting prop angle if we decide to go ahead and fade Jonnu Smith here in this game. Woo, I'm tingling right now. I'm getting excited about this potential. I'm Scott Sadenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. It's Cashing Out here on the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Sadenberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSIN Live. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by our professor, Aaron Moore, to break down all of his favorite prop bets for NFL Week 14 Sunday. We'll also get into the trench report, the biggest mismatches and advantages in the offensive and defensive lines. And we will tease you with a play that I'm going to have on Monday Night Football. We'll talk more about that, obviously, on tomorrow, on Sunday's Live Bet Sunday, but I'll give you a little teaser as to what I'm thinking about for the Monday Night Football game between the Chargers and the Eagles. I'm going to break my own rule here on cashing out, as normally I don't like to address some things that are going on in progress as we are on this show, because there might be a portion of the audience that is listening at a different time. But I have to talk about what's going on right now. So College Football Championship Saturday is coming to a close here as Indiana wins the Big Ten championship game, and we cash our best bet of Indiana team total to go under 21.5, by the way. But Indiana defeats Ohio State, winning their first Big Ten championship. 13-10 was the final, and Fernando Mendoza has now become an overwhelming favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. 15 of 23 passing for 222 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. And he is an overwhelming favorite to win the Heisman Trophy after bringing his team back from behind and having them win the Big Ten championship game. That market is now, is it even still on the board? It was minus 1,600 at one point. Yep, minus 1,600 for Fernando Mendoza. Diego Pavia, your second favorite at plus 700. So was this performance good enough to earn Fernando Mendoza the Heisman Trophy? Some would say yes, some would say no, but it was good enough to earn Indiana the number one seed in tomorrow's final college football playoff rankings. So Indiana will be number one and Ohio State will be number two. That's what's going to happen. Indiana is going to get rewarded for winning this game. And keep that in mind. I talk about how teams can get rewarded for winning games, right? And if you can get rewarded for winning games, then, well, how do you not punish teams for getting the loss? Anyway, so we have Indiana's going to be number one. Ohio State's going to fall to number two. Okay, that's it. And then Georgia will be number three, and Texas Tech will be number four. Those will be your four teams that will get byes in the college football playoff ranking. If they change it any other way, I don't see it happening. It'll be Indiana one, Ohio State two, Georgia three, and Texas Tech number four. Those will be your teams with the bye. But the reason why I'm breaking my rules and I'm talking about a game in progress right now is because we have to address the drama that has unfolded in the ACC championship game. Virginia and Duke are headed to overtime right now after Chandler Morris throws a touchdown pass with under 20 seconds remaining in the game. The extra point up and good. Virginia ties the game with Duke 20-20. We are headed to overtime with a playoff spot on the line. Virginia is a live minus 130 favorite. If Virginia wins this game, they win the ACC, they go to the college football playoff. If Duke wins this game and they win the ACC, James Madison, winners of the Sun Belt, will go to the college football playoff. When Virginia did not convert earlier on a possession, with the score being 17-10, or they threw an interception with the score being 17-10, and Duke kicked a field goal to go up 20-10 with 5 minutes remaining in regulation, Virginia was plus 3,500 to win the game. You could have gotten Virginia at upwards of plus 3,500, maybe even more, but I saw it at plus 3,500 to win the game. Virginia goes down the field, 8 plays in 1 minute and 8 seconds, and kicks a field goal. They kick the football off to Duke. Duke, 6 plays in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Virginia only uses one timeout plus the 2 minute warning, and Duke punts 4th and 6 at the 50 yard line. And Virginia, 10 plays, 96 yards in 1:22. With the tying touchdown, Chandler Morris to Wood for the touchdown with 22 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter. And we are in overtime here between Duke and Virginia. The drama, the playoff spots, the potential for your live bets when you had the opportunity to, I played Virginia live at plus 120, when it was halftime. And you know what's really, really funny? On that touchdown reception, the Virginia receiver stepped out of bounds. But he was pushed out of bounds, and then they said that he reestablished himself and made the catch. We didn't get like a replay. Remember the joke that I said earlier in the week or last week, whatever, I was saying, I bet you there's a scenario, conspiracy theorists, that like where all season ESPN's been taking us inside the ACC replay booth, that they're not going to take us inside the ACC replay booth for this. And they didn't. It was very, very quick. my goodness, very quick there to decide that it was, in fact, a good touchdown. So congratulations to Virginia forcing the overtime. And let's see, Duke has the first possession here in overtime. Live line, as we speak, is -115 both ways. As, again, it comes down here to the overtime period. And there are several people that I know that have long shot tickets on Virginia to win the ACC. I talked to a couple of them. They did not hedge off of that ticket. I am very curious the roller coaster of emotions that they have gone through watching this game. Plenty of opportunities to hedge, by the way. You know, plenty of opportunities to hedge, but nope, maybe you just let it ride. It's definitely a discussion to have when it comes to where you are with a futures ticket as we get to this portion of the season or in the NFL as well. But that's where we are right now. We are in overtime between Virginia and Duke, ACC championship game with a playoff spot on the line. A Virginia win sends the Cavaliers to the college football playoff. A Duke win will send James Madison, winners of the Sun Belt, to the college football playoff. Here is the rankings as I project them for what we're going to see when they come out here on Sunday. As I mentioned, Indiana with the win over Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, they're going to be number one. Okay. Indiana's going to be number one. Ohio State's going to be number two. Georgia will be three. Texas Tech will be number four. Now you have the teams that didn't play. And so how, you know, you're not going to change the standing on those teams, but it'll be Oregon at number five, Ole Miss at number six, Texas A&M number seven, Oklahoma at number eight. And now here's the debate. We have Alabama, Notre Dame, Miami, Tulane, and James Madison, or Virginia. Here's what we know right now. I just gave you eight teams that are in, one through eight. Now let's count backwards. Number 12 is going to be either James Madison or Tulane. Number 11 is either going to be Tulane or Virginia. Those are two spots we know are there. That means there's two spots left here in the college football playoff, the 9 seed and the 10 seed. And if I, Scott Seidenberg, was the deciding vote on the college football playoff committee, number 9 and number 10 getting into the college football playoff would be Notre Dame and Miami. And the team that is on the outside looking in is Alabama. That's how I look at it. Now, a lot of people are going to say Alabama's game did not matter. You can't get punished for playing the extra game and losing in the ACC championship game. That's not fair. And Miami and Duke didn't have to, Miami and Notre Dame didn't have to play an extra game. And so the decision should be Alabama at 9 and decide between Notre Dame and Miami. And then the head-to-head has to matter, all that stuff. No. You know what matters? Losses matter. I cannot get through my head how Alabama is being rewarded for losing to Oklahoma, their second loss of the season, and then the only data points we have had since that loss were a win over Eastern Illinois, which we throw out. We don't care about those games. We have one win against Auburn, 27-20, and a 28-7 manhandling by Georgia. Those are the only two data points that I can see that are worth discussing after you lose to Oklahoma. How are those two data points good enough to put you into the college football playoff? They're not. If I'm doing it, Alabama's out. Both Notre Dame and Miami are in. But that'll be fascinating to see what happens coming up here on Sunday. Let's get into the prop bets with our professor, Aaron Moore, coming up next with me, Scott Seidenberg, here on Cashing Out on VSiN.